the most important meal of the day, second breakfast. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Second Breakfast podcast. I'm Andy Roth alongside Phil Duvall. Say hi, Phil.
Howdy, folks.
And we've got a really interesting topic today. It's based off of a moment a few days ago when I absolutely lost my mind at the state of humanity.
I have never seen you so angry. I should say I haven't seen you that angry in a while.
Right. Of course you've seen me that angry. Of course.
I have seen me that angry many, many times. And you have seen me that angry on a regular basis.
More than once. It's true.
I think I get angry more easily than you do.
I think that's true.
The flip side of that is because I get angry so often, I know how to come down from it pretty quickly.
I'm still learning that.
When you get angry, it's just like...
yeah.
for a while
it's
afterwards.
True. It's true. You're right. That's not an inaccurate statement. We here at Second Breakfast, viewers, listeners, Second Breakfast Nation, you might know, we like movies.
Oh.
We also...
Spoiler.
We also like comic book movies.
Yeah.
I mean, they gotta be good. I mean, don't give me Elektra.
I didn't know we were gonna go there already, but that's... Go ahead. Continue with your story. I'm loving how you're setting this up. Set it up, and we'll just get down, Andy Roth.
We could totally backtrack and just
no, like, you're doing
digress
no, you're doing
for
great.
A while if you don't want to get there yet.
Listen, digression is coming, my friend.
Really?
I've got four digressions just based on that first sentence, but just go ahead and lead us.
Us?
Fearlessly.
So I like comic book movies, as yep. does Phil.
Yeah.
They're getting a little silly at this point because after at some point, you're just going to get into heroes that not everybody cares about. You know, the argument could be made that Iron Man would have been exactly that had they not struck casting gold with many people in that movie, but certainly
I was
with
about to make that argument, but you are correct.
Yeah.
That's the argument I was going to make, is that the amazing thing about this current comic book trend is that while you could say that the progenitors of it were X-Men and Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
it was Iron Man's rousing success that really made everybody go,
"Huh?" I agree with that. And because it's been more than 15 minutes since some of these have come out, they're already up for reboots. Some of them. Well, some of them already happened. The Amazing Spider-Man has already happened. And I really enjoyed that movie. I never once felt it was strictly necessary, but I enjoyed
sure.
it.
Sure.
Andrew Garfield was great. Emma Stone was fantastic. I mean, everyone was. There is another reboot coming, and this one actually makes a lot of sense, because even though they're recent movies, they are abysmal. The Fantastic Four.
Oh,
they're just terrible. They're so bad. They're getting a reboot. And, okay, so I'll set up the comic for those who don't know the comic, just very, very briefly, and who haven't seen the movies. The Fantastic Four... wait for it, have four people on the team, okay? And the story goes, they were out in space, and they were hit by cosmic rays, and they were all hit at different points, so they have different abilities given to them by these cosmic rays. And it is a brilliant scientist, Reed Richards, turns into Mr. Fantastic, he gets all bendy and plastic manny. His girlfriend, wife, paramour,
okay.
Sue Storm, who turns into the Invisible Woman. In the original movies, Mr. Fantastic was Reed Richards was Yoan Griffith, Welsh actor. I like him, but he was not good in these movies because no one was, except for one person that we'll get to imminently. The Invisible Woman was played by Jessica Alba. She is, as an actress, she sure is pretty. You know.
Oh wow! Yeah, you know. I hear you.
I mean,
I don't have the issues that you have with her, but the movie just isn't done well.
Not at all. And the Invisible Woman, as you might imagine, she can become invisible, and she can also sort of like project like a force field. Think Violet from The Incredibles. That's
as opposed to Violet from Willy Wonka, the Chocolate Factory.
Yes, she's not turning Violet. Violet.
She's not just chewing gum forever. She's actually got superpowers.
It's true. It's true.
Okay.
Then comes, and this is where it gets important, but we'll wait for it. The third member of the team, Johnny Storm, as you might imagine.
Johnny Storm.
The playboy of the group. He is Sue Storm's younger brother. He turns into the Human Torch, as the name suggests. They're not going for subtlety here. As the name suggests, he can light himself on fire. He turns into a giant flaming torch, and he can fly. When he's
always been one of my biggest problems with comic book is with the Fantastic Four is it's not as nuanced and subtle as most comic books.
It's true.
Wait a minute.
That's right. That's
those
that's
don't right. exist.
And speaking of subtlety, the fourth member of the team, just a friend of everybody, Ben Grimm, who turns into the Thing. He's basically the Hulk if the Hulk were made out of rock. And he doesn't change back. Like the Invisible Woman doesn't have to be invisible. Mr. Fantastic doesn't have to get all bendy. Johnny Storm is not always on fire. The Thing is always made out of rock. And that's it. Like, I mean, please, if you are a gigantic Fantastic Four fan, and I have left something truly crucial to the mythology out, please let us know. At either by commenting on the video or emailing us at secondbreakfastpodcast@gmail.com.
Sweet Lord. Right.
Because I think that's pretty much it. So, they're rebooting it. One of the greatest comic book movies in recent years, which is the time period you want to talk about when you're talking about comic movies, was not based on a comic book at all. It was an original idea. It's called Chronicle. Would you agree with that statement?
That it's a comic book movie?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Because it's not based on a comic book, that's why.
But it follows all of the tropes.
Okay.
I mean, you're right.
No, I mean, maybe a superhero movie.
Sure, fine.
That's different than a comic book movie.
I have no qualms with calling it that.
Okay.
One of the greatest superhero movies of recent years, Chronicle.
I gotta tell you, I am very excited to see you what the point looks like. You are circling.
Well, here's the deal.
In for the landing.
The director of that is now directing, a man named Josh Trank is now helming up the Fantastic Four reboot. One of the three main characters in that was an actor named, interestingly enough, Michael B. Jordan. I believe MJ's middle name is Jeffrey, so this is not the basketball star now retired. It's not official yet, but he is being tagged to play Johnny Storm. And if you have seen Chronicle, or if you have seen Friday Night Lights, or if you have seen The Wire, or if you have seen Parenthood, this kid, Michael B. Jordan, is phenomenally talented. And his presence, he's got this like confidence that can...
Say his name again.
Michael B. Jordan.
Say it one more time for everybody.
Michael B. Jordan.
I hope that everyone had at least three jokes for every single time Andy said his name.
I do. Do you?
Okay. I have a dozen. It's great.
Fantastic. he has precisely the kind of charm bordering on cockiness that Johnny Storm has to have. He's hilarious. He can also play dramatic moments really well. He's great. I think he's a fantastically talented actor in general. I think he's perfect for this role. And the internet has gone crazy. The internet has gone crazy at this casting news because Michael B. Jordan is black.
Wait a minute. What? A black person can't play Johnny Storm, Andy?
I know.
Because the comic book character is white.
For a second, I thought you were going to say a black person can't be named Michael Jordan, and that isn't true either.
That's also hilarious. I knew a kid in grade school or in high school named Michael Jordan. It was spelled Jordin.
No.
But he was just, oh, it was how it was spelled. I mean, he didn't change it.
No. I'd say no.
But he was like, just call me Mike. Michael Bolton in Office Space.
Just call me Mike.
Just call me Mike.
Just call me Mike. Please. Yes. I guess I suppose I didn't lead with that because I don't think it's necessary. Everyone in the Fantastic Four is white with the exception of Ben Grimm or The Thing, who is rock American, granite American. He's made of stone. I think I'm going to leave it there because I've been talking a lot. So, take us forward.
Well, I mean, the thing is that people are complaining, or there are people. When we say people, or the Andy says the internet went crazy, I mean, there were people on the internet. And by the way, when the internet goes crazy, it's a short trip. Okay?
It's true.
Because people – here's the big thing. Andy was reading all these comments to the news that this guy – now, by the way, is Michael B. Jordan booked?
No, but
– it's just they're talking about
it. The article that I clicked on that the comments were attached to – He was on a red carpet for something, and he was very, very coy about it. He was basically – it was – his demeanor was like, I'm really excited, but I can't talk about it.
Right. So what Andy and I have – based on this story that Andy just told you, this brief exchange, Andy and I could be talking about two different things, but we're talking about one specific thing. We could be talking about racial – like how race plays into how you cast movies. Or we could be talking about – the commenters on the internet. We're going to talk about how race plays into casting roles.
Yes.
That being said, I want to pause for a moment and say to Andy and to all who are listening, don't read the comments on an internet article. We all grew up with newspapers and magazines, and there was a section of letters to the editor, which for every magazine was maybe one page long.
Yeah.
And in a month, a magazine that came out in a month that was like a 200-page magazine or whatever, mm-hmm. there would be maybe six or seven letters to the editor.
Yeah.
Then they were selected, and I still most of the time wouldn't read them. And if you want to know why – go look up a stand-up bit about Letters to the Editor by Paul F. Tompkins, where he just points out how ridiculously pointless Letters to the Editor are. Full disclosure, I wrote one once and got published in Rolling Stone when I was 15.
That should give you
the idea. Well, that should give you the idea of how stupid it is. I did it when I was 15. I also put Esquire at the end of my name.
No, and got you published. Did not.
Yeah, I did.
No, you did not.
I used to sign my name, Philip Hart Duvall Esquire.
I've never talked to you more than I do right
because,
now.
Because I found out that Esquire was not an official term, that technically lawyers do it, but you don't – there's nothing you have to do to be called Esquire technically.
Right.
And I was like, well, in that case.
Yeah, I've never loved you more.
And that's why I signed – okay. So letters to the editor are for 15-year-old boys is my point.
Sure.
And the comments section of the internet is for the 15-year-old boys of 15-year-old boys. I mean, it's like the Russian – if there was a Russian doll, like you, the nesting dolls, you open up and inside the stupidity of the letters to the editor, you would find inside that stupidity, you'd open up something and there'd be something terrible. And then inside that stupidity, there you would find the people who comment on internet things. Only slightly less stupid, Andy – people who spend time reading the comments sections. And you're not alone. I have friends that do it. They go like, I can't believe what people will say. Well, I can. People are terrible. Don't read it. So Andy reads this thing and people are like, you can't have a black guy playing a comic book character that was white. That's ridiculous. And Andy and I'm sure that's the nice version of what some people were saying.
Just real quick, A, yes. Although – no actual racial slurs were thrown around because I think that those just get deleted if they were ever.
Oh, racism. And racism is so much more nuanced these days. Thank God.
That's right. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, I don't know.
Yada, yada, yada. That's why we're talking.
Right.
But the other thing, because Johnny Storm is a sibling to another character, there was also like this, well, I mean, is the Invisible Woman going to be black too? Because they can't be different races, and someone was like, he can be adopted. And like, no, he can't be adopted. They're siblings, and that's really important. So I'm going to take this moment, because this is not a story, this is not a podcast about adoption. I cannot say what I'm actually thinking. I'm not adopted. I know very few people who are adopted. I can't say what I'm actually thinking to those people out there who are like, adopted siblings aren't actually siblings. Because this is a family podcast. Huh.
I hear you.
So angry.
I have several adopted family members in my family, and I mean, that's just silly. It's ridiculous. But I mean, if there was something where it had to do with a genetic mutation of a family that occurred within a family,
yes.
Like, so for instance, great example from film history, if Teen Wolf was adopted, that would be problematic.
The entire internal logic of that movie falls apart.
Yeah.
Like a house of cards.
Like a little house of werewolf cards, which are my favorite kinds of cards. But when it comes to – now listen, so the thing is
– there's another kind of card.
Can black people play roles that are based on not real people, by the way, comic books that do not have racial like points to the character?
Right. This is not – Harrison Ford has been cast in the Jackie Robinson biopic 42, and he's playing Jackie Robinson.
Right. Or I remember when I was in like college, and they were talking about making a movie about Lincoln.
Right.
And I remember, I mean, this was not just one article. I remember reading like this buzz that they were gonna get, and I'm not kidding, Morgan Freeman, because right. Even though he was black, people would buy it because that's how much everybody loves Morgan Freeman. Now here's the deal: people do love Morgan Freeman. I am one of those people.
Indeed. Me too.
I think it's almost – I actually kind of feel like it's an American duty to love Morgan Freeman.
I would agree.
Like I kind of feel like KKK members secretly kind of love Morgan Freeman.
Right. We hate black people except for Red from The Shawshank Redemption.
You know, there is one colored person I really do like. That's that Freeman. I mean, his name is ironic, but it's Morgan Freeman. That's the man. That's the one. That's how I feel racists feel about Morgan Freeman. That's fair. He is so – and I love him. It's legit.
Yes.
However, him playing Lincoln would be completely and utterly stupid and insane.
Let me speak to that directly because there is – I am not in the business of saying cast anyone for anything whatever.
No, you're not.
I believe that it should go to the best actor.
Sure.
I believe that race should never play a role unless it plays a role, unless it's a real person. And even then, I think you can get away with certain things. Ben Kingsley played an amazing Gandhi, you know?
Yeah. And he is part Indian, right?
Fine. No. Yes, he is. But
– which just – it, you know, that gave him some credibility to some people.
That's right. Not as Indian as Gandhi, though.
Never mind. That's a whole other thing.
Fair.
You're right.
But I also, and here's what I mean. Here's what I mean when I say unless role is a factor. There are comic book characters. There is a comic book character named Black Panther, which is not nearly as racist as you would think that name would suggest. But the character is black. He's African.
Right.
There is a character named Luke Cage who is like he's human, but he's got like impenetrable skin, and he's like the Rock in terms of size, and he protects Harlem. Right?
Sure.
You can't go casting a white guy to play either of those parts.
Bill Clinton could play one of those parts.
Bill Clinton can do anything.
I don't know what I said.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just always like when people were like, Bill Clinton was the first black president, and Bill Clinton like got offices in Harlem when he first like got, you know, all that stuff. Yes. It's like,
right.
Okay. So anyways, that was the joke there. But he protects Harlem with his Clintonian grace.
Indeed.
So here's the deal. Andy's point is well made. There are comic book characters for whom race enters into the picture by virtue of who they are.
Yes.
Now,
I will say this though, to put a bow on this, and we'll segue into what you want to talk about, because I'm sorry for interrupting you. Not a single character, and again, I know there are people who watch this podcast who love comic books. Tell me if I'm wrong. I cannot think of a single comic book character or superhero who is Caucasian where race is actually an important part of their identity.
Okay, I agree with you. Now, that being said, why race might matter for the sake of a comic book hero?
Mm.
I think having a black Superman, for instance,
mm-hmm.
makes a political statement.
Yes.
I think having a black Batman, considering that Batman's a billionaire, would be a political statement.
Yes.
Tony Stark as well. No, it doesn't mean it couldn't be done. It just means part of that character's, it would put
you
a
have
spin
to know what
on
you're
the
getting
character.
Into. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you'd have to do honor to that injustice. So for instance, when we, I think I used to say race should have no part in the casting of a character, except race should have a part in casting a character because we have to recognize that what race we make a character plays into the cultural, like there are subplots and ramifications of making a I mean, you know, those are all choices. So, but they came up with this recently. This is not the first time we've had this conversation with Michael B. Jordan wanting to play the Human Torch. Okay. There was talk, and I don't know if it ever got beyond talk, of the idea of Donald Glover, who is, best known as the black guy on Community. Mm-hmm. That's the only way, or the one black guy who was ever on Girls. And they made a point out of making a joke about the fact that he was the black guy on mm-hmm. Girls for the minute he was on it. Donald Glover, and by the way, if you can find his stand-up, he's just immensely talented.
Amazing.
And his stuff, he's just – anyways, I love
find
Donald
his
Glover.
Stuff, find his stuff about Kicks. The
yeah!
Serial.
Just oh, man, find his good. Stuff about dating white girls.
Yes!
Oh, man,
yes.
It's hilarious.
Hey, he's amazing. He's
but,
amazing.
But Donald Glover's great. So Donald Glover was –
I want to be him when I grow up.
It was approached or was it talked about or something happened where – when they were rebooting Spider-Man before they got Andrew Garfield, James Garfield was a president, shot, I believe. Before him, they were talking about Donald Glover, and there was this big whole thing. It was like, Spider-Man can't be black. And everyone was like, a lot of people were like, yeah, no, there's really nothing about Spider-Man. Why not?
It's more than that. I don't know if it was simultaneously concurrently with these talks about Donald Glover, but the Spider-Man in at least one of the series that was being put out was black.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
Yes, he was black. Peter Parker died or retired or something.
They're making Peter Parker black. I mean, the idea of making Peter Parker black.
Right. It was, and to be fair, it was not Peter Parker. It was a different person who had the same power.
The idea of making a black Peter Parker.
Right.
And then people freaked out about it, and they're like, well, we can't do that. And then Donald Glover was sort of like, okay, I had never really thought about this in the first place because I wasn't running around trying to be Spider-Man, but now that we're talking about it, why not? And it's a really good question. And you can listen to his podcast, Mark Maron, WTF, interviews him, and it's a really good podcast.
Did they talk about it on that one?
I believe they do, yes. Awesome. Either that or I'm making it up in my head, but I'm pretty sure they do. And it's no, they definitely do. And it's one of those things where it's like, what is our issue here with, and I'm not trying to just to toe the typical line of like, oh, why can't we get past this? I mean, I'm really curious, like, what is the problem here? Like, what goes, like, why not have a black person play a role that a white person had played before? And what really frustrates me all the while that this is happening is Johnny Depp is about to play Tonto in The Lone Ranger, which is going to be like, they're hoping will make squajillion dollars.
It's just not going to. I mean,
it's not going to do well, that movie. It's not going to do well. But
because
my
of all
point
the kids
is,
who love The Lone Ranger these days, come on.
Well, it doesn't matter if they love The Lone Ranger. I mean, they're trying to sell it from a point of view of, I mean, it's an origin story, so whatever. That doesn't matter. Okay. I just think it's going to be a blood. No, I mean, it's cowboys and Indians. Kids can enjoy that.
I almost agree with you. I don't know that I completely agree with you. Regardless, it's not what we're here to talk about. So
no, but the point is there were a lot – like, never mind all of the white guys who have played other races in the past. Never mind that, because that was the past.
Yep.
And we all recognize that everyone now is amazing and everyone used to be stupid. That's the narrative of our culture. Well, those were the old days where we simultaneously glorify the old days and talk about how much stupider everyone was in the
Indeed.
Same breath.
Yes.
I recognize that we used to have these ways where, but they're still doing it. So, I mean, Johnny Depp playing Tonto is mind-numbing to me.
Sure.
Mind-numbing.
Yeah.
And we're fine with it. I have like heard no negative press about this.
Okay. I do have an interesting thought, an interesting hypothetical. And I know it's hypothetical because with the directing and producing team behind it, you know that they approach Johnny Depp immediately. But Tonto, I'm going to guess, although I don't know this specifically, Tonto is perhaps considered by the American Indian community along with Chief Wahoo and the Washington Redskins. I mean, it's not necessarily a sympathetic portrayal. I mean, he's a good guy, but
he's the best friend of the guy.
Me talk him like this.
He talks like that, but other than that, I mean, to say sympathetic, I mean, and that's my point.
That's fair. I wonder if they had approached actual American Indians to play the role. I wonder what because there are American Indian actors out there.
I doubt that Johnny Depp was the backup.
Oh,
I'll bet you tons of money that the name of the guy that directed it?
Gore Verbinski. Of course. No bets. That's why I'm saying it's a hypothetical. Right. Gore Verbinski worked with Johnny Depp on the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
I guarantee that some Indian gentleman would have taken this role had it been offered to him.
That's fair.
I really believe that.
All right.
But I just think I think he was like, I'm going to put Johnny Depp in this movie.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp is 50, by the way. Stop walking around with your shirt off. You're 50. That's all I want to say about that.
I'm just saying, if I had Johnny Depp's body, I don't think I would own clothes.
Instead, he owns too many clothes. He's either walking around with his shirt on, off, or wearing 17 shirts, 30 bracelets, and a goofy hat. And somebody else's glasses. There's no one wearing his glasses. He did not order those. I don't know. Anyways.
So yes, this silliness is even more pervasive than you might think. And I think you can go farther. I don't think it has to be just comic movies or superhero movies. I mean, this is sort of a superhero movie, but there are rumblings that when Daniel Craig steps down as James Bond, there's sort of a groundswell of support for Idris Elba to take over
sure.
the role.
Sure.
Who would
Although
be
he'll be
perfect.
You know why I disagree? Because I think that he'll be too old he'll by the time too, that
is fair. That's fair.
But I mean, if it was like 5 years ago, heck yeah.
Right.
Age wise.
Right. Right. That's fair, and that is the thing that worries me as well. Especially with not to say I'm loving Daniel Craig as Bond. I'm not saying I think he should retire from the role. I mean, but if he had stepped down after Quantum of Solace, even though that wasn't fully 5 years ago, I would have loved it if
sure, sure.
Idris Elba
had
taken
great
it.
Idea. Great idea. Yeah. I think it has racial implications to do this to put someone else in, but at the same time, I'm like. So what?
Right. That's the other thing.
Let it. What's the? If it doesn't work, reboot it again in a minute, like you've been doing anyway.
Right. Oh no! This movie they are remaking for the first time in 5 years might fail. They might have to wait another 5 years to.
Well,
do
what's
it
funny?
Again.
Oh my gosh! I just had a realization.
What's that?
Hold on, I'm gonna look it up. Before I don't want to speak out of turn. I just want to say that Johnny Depp is dating someone who's 23 years younger than him. But in the meantime, that's not what I wanted to let you know about. He's dating Amber Heard. She's 27. He's 50. I get it that she is one of the most beautiful people who ever lived in the world. But still, dude.
Good.
Come on.
Good for both of them. I couldn't care less. I'm not judging you, but I couldn't care less.
I know you're not judging them either, and that's a little silly. okay, I'm not judging them either. I am. But I'm more like
that's a lie. You're lying.
I'm just following the rules. I'm just following the rules of society. It's half your age plus seven. Follow the rules, man. Okay? Like society needs rules. This is not NOM. Like we have to actually have the one other thing I was gonna look up was
it's actually in Article 2 of the Constitution, half your age plus seven. So.
I mean look it, I don't make the rules, I just try to live by them.
You just have to follow them. Because you're
and that's our job. That's
right.
That's our job.
You're right.
Or else anarchy, really, let's be honest. Okay, you're going to love this. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Jessica Alba, not all white, played Chris Evans' sister.
Yeah.
She's half Mexican.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Nobody has a problem because she's a hot woman. That's why
right.
No one has a problem.
That's right. We don't care.
Here's another thing I want to point out.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another thing I want to point out. Well, I have a question. Was Storm always black in the X-Men? Was she always black?
No.
Maybe, but because nobody cared. Are you ready for this? People don't mind a hot black woman replacing a hot white woman. But they don't like black men replacing anybody.
Yes, it's true.
Like, white America is not scared of black women. It is especially when they have really light colored skin. White America is terrified of black men. I don't know. I mean,
right? It's true. You're right. You're right. You know what? I think she might be. She might always have been black,
which is great.
Yeah. But that brings up an interesting point. A lot of these characters were created when racism was institutionalized. It was part of the ruling order. Like, you're not going to, I mean, I'm not saying that he should or shouldn't be, but you're not going to create Superman in the mid to late 1930s. And he's not going to be a black guy. He's not going to be a Mexican guy. That's not going to happen. He's going to be a white guy. Right?
Right. Right.
The Fantastic Four.
That's a very good point. That's a very good
point. Created in the 60s. Yeah. Like,
right. Captain America wouldn't work so well.
Right. 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 Captain America created when he was created, like in the 40s. That's not, I mean,
right.
I wish it weren't true. And coincidentally, I think Chris Evans is fabulous as Captain America. This is not sort of a diatribe against any particular person who has been cast, except for perhaps Jessica Alba, because I think she's terrible. But that is a separate issue.
Ah, man, you really have it out for Jessica Alba. Jessica Alba owns a diaper company that she created that uses all ecologically friendly and sustainable blah, 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 and easily biodegradable resources. And my wife has chosen to use this company.
Yeah.
And it's been great for us.
You know what? Legitimately, with no sarcasm or attitude, I think that is wonderful.
I know, Andy. You just don't like her as an actor. I get it. I get it. I don't care one way or the other about her. I can't even say, other than the Fantastic Four movies, I don't know that I've ever seen her in anything. I really don't. I don't know that I've ever seen her in anything.
Sin City?
I did, and I don't remember disliking her in that.
Fair. All she did was dance half naked. So, I mean, you know.
Well, that's a thing.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
That's acting.
It's true. You're right. You're right. I have friends who like the TV show Dark Angel, which was her big break.
Sure.
James Cameron. You know.
Yeah, but you have friends that like a lot of bad television. So, I mean, let's be honest.
Fair. You're right. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I mean, what else do you want to say about this? I think, I mean, my point of view has been made.
I mean, I don't know that there is anything else to say. It, frankly, I mean, this sounds so naive, and I get that. Phil, internet, world, I get that what I'm about to say, you're going to be like, oh, Andy. But weren't we past this? I mean, weren't we past this? Are you so wrapped up, vocal minority of the internet? Are you so wrapped up in your vision of a fictional superhero that you know what? You know what? If this had been about a woman, a black woman playing Sue Storm, you know what? She's invisible for at least half of the movie. So don't give me that, right? Like, what is the big deal? This is not Morgan Freeman playing Abraham Lincoln.
Andy, yes, they are that silly. That is why they are making comments on the internet. You can't read those people anymore. You're not allowed, man. Like, I'm calling it. You're not allowed anymore.
That's fair. And
I'm doing this for you. I'm doing it for your own good.
I know. And I appreciate that. And I'm going to try and follow that. But now, I mean, there's a part of me that wants the entire Fantastic Four to be black, except for the guy who turns out to play the Thing. Because there's something.
Except for the guy who turns out what?
To play the Thing. Because there's something uncomfortable if, like, the other three are white, and then the guy who turns into the Hulk made of rock is a different race. There's some uncomfortable optics around.
Well, that's the interesting thing about. I mean, racial casting does matter. So, for instance. They didn't want to get a black guy for the new Spider-Man, but they've got a black guy as the new bad guy in the second Spider-Man movie.
Right. Electro, who is, to my knowledge, not a black man. But I don't care, because his superpower isn't being a particular race. His superpower is, I would assume, something to do with electricity. I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't think there's... Obviously, obviously a black guy playing Electro, the powers that he has are not intrinsic to the issue. What right. I find amazing is it's like, well, we couldn't let a black guy play the hero. Oh, but he could certainly play a villain. What could go wrong there?
I'm
not saying that, look, there's a, I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy.
Sure.
And I'm not actually, contrary to this conversation, like big on the racial, like there's a, what's that thing called? Is it amniotics or was this thing
I have no idea.
Basically, it's the study of why things, what symbols really mean. Like, so for instance, semiotics. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amniotics is like amniotic fluid.
It's that sounds like a pregnancy thing, but that's okay.
I'm not actually smart. I've just heard other people who are smart talk. Okay. Here's what I know about semiotics is like, why do we have it in movies that the good guy wears a white hat and the bad guy wears a black hat? And then what does it say about us when we put a good guy in a black hat? And it's like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not actually that – I mean, I'm not saying that those questions aren't there and they don't exist. It's not my field of expertise.
Right.
It's not something that I care about.
Right. Or interest. But, expertise or interest, I would say.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I spend time thinking about it.
Sure.
Except to the degree that I think we all kind of do, right?
Sure.
Like, that's the funny thing is we all kind of care about everything, at least in America, right, where we're taught that you have to know something about everything. But, like I'm no scientist, but I care, like, enough about science that I want my microwave to work. I mean, like
– Yes.
Yeah. Or you know who really cares about science?
Who's that?
Like, people who get cancer.
Right. Right. That's true.
All of a sudden – people who deny evolution and think science is anti-God are like, science, please
knock,
help
knock,
me
knock.
Live. Right.
Knock, knock. Hello.
These are the same people that, by the way, when they die, they're going to heaven forever to rest eternally in bliss, are like, do whatever it takes to keep me alive. It's hilarious to me.
Can medical science come out and play, please?
Yeah, seriously, can we be friends? I'll believe in evolution if that's what it takes. Just please, please. So I'm not saying that, but I am saying I find it interesting that we are comfortable with a black guy playing a bad guy, but not a good guy. I think we could have a whole conversation. You can go online and read all sorts of really good articles around what Django Unchained meant. But I think there's a whole other aspect of it. I mean, we see this, where is the line that we draw? So for instance, John Turturro is Italian. He has played more Jews than Woody Allen has.
Yeah.
Is that okay? He also plays Jesus Quintana, like an Hispanic guy.
Right.
Is that racist? So where's the line here for us? Like where – I'm not someone who thinks the only person who can play – a Mexican-American is a Mexican-American.
Right.
You know? Although I do get annoyed with all the British people faking American accents right now. Like, we don't have a whole country full of people, actors who need jobs. Really. Seriously. I'm just saying.
Former actor, ladies and gentlemen. Former actor.
But it doesn't bother me that Michelle Yeoh is Malaysian and she's in a Chinese movie. Like, that doesn't bother me. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So, like, I don't know. I guess it's just, like... race totally doesn't matter except when it totally does.
Yeah.
And especially with black people.
Sure.
Like in America, yeah, we'll in America, away, in America, black, white, like when we talk about racism, it's like we almost always mean, well, except I live in Southern California, so we also mean Hispanics, which Southern Californians call Mexicans.
Great.
Well, we're advanced. To be fair, for a very long period of time, the vast majority of Latinos in Southern California were Mexican-American.
Sure.
But we have a huge, huge influx of El Salvadorinos and Nicaraguans and Guatemalans now. So just be careful, you know, with the use of the term Mexican, Southern Americans.
You know,
South Americans. No, Southern Californians.
Californians. I feel like South America
Southern
probably has it down pat.
South Americans have it down pat. Southern Californians are just a mess.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm interested. I don't also care enough about the Fantastic Four to know, but I do feel like it's just sort of like Michael B. Jordan's a really good actor. and the Human Torch is not implicitly white.
Right. Let's see.
And
let's
even see if he was, it's a comic book.
Right. We're talking about race with a movie based on something that was drawn in four colors.
It's true.
It's true. Not for nothing.
There's so many other problems with Fantastic Four that I can't even imagine the race being the biggest issue.
I know, right? I mean,
there's Norm Macdonald put out a comedy album. It wasn't stand-up comedy. It was like comedy bits a few years back. It's not a great disc, unfortunately, and I'm a huge fan of Norm Macdonald. But he does a whole bit on the Fantastic Four where they first get together, and he's like, all right, here's the deal. We're going to be called the Fantastic Four, and your name is going to be Mrs. Invisible, and your name is going to be, you know, like the Human Torch, and your name is going to be the Thing. Isn't it the Thing?
Yes. And I'm Mr. Fantastic.
He subscribes one, he goes, and I'm Mr. Fantastic. Because he even goes further. He's like, you get invisible, so your nickname will be Miss Invisible. And then you are like a flaming torch, and so you will be called, but you're a human, so you'll be called the Human Torch. And you're just like this big rock thing, so you'll be called the Thing. And I have the ability to stretch and make my body elastic and do all sorts of rubbery plastic things, like a big rubber band. So my name obviously will be Mr. Fantastic. They're like, what about Rubber Man? No, you see. I have this ability, you know, and he just goes on like that. And that is the most problematic thing about the Fantastic Four is probably that the main guy's name is Mr. Fantastic.
Right.
Stop. Put it away. So I'm really interested to see what my friend Quentin thinks about this. He's a big comic book nerd. We will have him on the show eventually when he deigns to condescend to our level, because he's an actual, like, working paid screenwriter in Hollywood. Does things for a living.
Sure.
So, but I'd love his take on this particularly, and I'd love his take on Fantastic Four. When it gets rebooted, we'll have him on the show, because he's the one I went and saw the sequel of Fantastic Four with. Mm. He was like, I'm going to go see Fantastic Four sequel. You want to come with me? And I was like, I heard the first one's terrible. He goes, oh, it is terrible. But the Silver Surfer is my favorite comic book character of all time. And okay. This one is really supposed to be – like this one is supposed to be better than the last one, like, you know, whoever says those things.
Right.
And so I actually went and rented Fantastic Four, the first one.
To prep?
So
you wouldn't be lost?
Well, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, I'm the guy who saw Rush Hour so that I could see Rush Hour 2.
Well played.
You know, that's – I didn't want to miss out on any of the gentle nuances of the of the relationship between Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker. So I saw Fantastic Four and I was like, that was god awful, but this will be better. And we went and saw it. We took his kid, like it was like a Friday afternoon show, and the three of us went, and then we just walked out of there. It was like,
What's your call? Was it better? I've seen both. Did you think it was better?
It doesn't matter. No, I mean, it's not even like, I don't even.
You can't even comprehend that question as it relates to these movies.
I don't think it's qualitative. It's not a qualitative. I think it was better in that it was shorter. I think Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer was 89 minutes long.
Yeah.
Pretty sure if you read Joe Morgenstern's review for that movie, he talks about how it still feels too long.
Roger Ebert had a line, no good movie is too long, and no bad movie is short enough.
And right, isn't...
I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me.
I don't know if it actually is Albert Einstein that says it, or if it's like just attributed to him, but him describing relativity.
Yeah.
Right. Put your, sit around with an hour talking with an attractive woman and it feels like a second. Put your hand on a hot stove for a second and it feels like an hour. That's relativity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyways.
So we've ended with a digression, stunningly, but this is an interesting topic. I would love to return to it in the future, as the noted philosophers Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan said, be excellent to each other, you know?
I like it. I like right? it. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess that'll do it for today. For Second Breakfast, I'm Andy Roth, and that's Phil Duvall. We'll see you again real soon.
Bye, everybody. The most important meal of the day, Second Breakfast.